Journey to One.net. I'm here today with Scott Hanselman.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about how we're going to merge .NET Core and Xamarin together into a single product as we move forward. Before we start, I want to talk about up in the upper left here, there's a aks.ms/.NET journey. That is the 90-minute version of this talk. So if you want to see the long version with tons of demos after we're done today, go check that out. And with that, I'll move forward.
All right. Things are working out pretty well in .NET land. The ecosystem is healthy and doing very well. In fact, we've got over 1.5 million .NET Core developers in Visual Studio right now. Number one most loved framework on Stack Overflow. And from a velocity perspective, there's a lot going on in open source, and we're in the top 30 projects, both .NET and ASP.NET on GitHub. We also care a lot right now about benchmarking and speed. We've been talking about this since .NET Core 2. Right now in .NET Core 3.1, we're about 7 times faster than Node.js. If you look at Tech Empower, and we've even got more perf coming for you in .NET 5, which is pretty sweet. And then one of the things, the statistics that I'm the most excited about is the idea that new people are starting .NET. About 40% of the folks that are joining the .NET space right now are students, according to some surveys that we've been running. You can see all the links to these statistics down there in the corner, but we're pretty excited about how things are working out right now.
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty good, Scott.
Mm-hmm. From the .NET perspective, like you say, we've got a lot of adoption happening on Visual Studio. There's about 1 million new monthly active .NET developers in the last year. And these are monthly active users. This isn't just tire kickers. We actually measure people that are spending time, legitimate time, over multiple days inside of Visual Studio. This is not a count of downloads.
Yeah, it doesn't count if you download. You have to actually.
This is a count of coders, right?
Yeah.
And then we've got about 600,000 new monthly active developers in the last year just on .NET Core. And this one's actually one that's a little bit surprising. You always get surprised when you hear how much Linux there is in Azure. In fact, .NET on Linux is killing it right now with over 1 million publishes from Visual Studio directly to Linux. In fact, I recently moved my sites over to Linux and Azure as well.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the announcements today, Scott. We just shipped today Visual Studio 16.6. And with that update, you get access to Blazor WebAssembly. This is the same Blazor that we shipped back in September of last year as part of .NET Core 3 and 3.1. But now you can actually run your C# not only on the server, but in the browser as well. And so you can do full stack web development with ASP.NET Core. One of the benefits of being able to run .NET natively in the browser is you can take advantage of the hardware of the machine. But even cooler, you can actually build really fully offline applications. And we're going to do a small demo today of a PWA, but there'll be other talks this week that go really deep into the offline stuff. So I'm going to switch into Visual Studio here real quick on machine, and we'll do a quick demo. So here I am. I'm going to click File New on my Blazor here, and press Next. And let's call this Blazor WASM. There we go. And we'll create this project. And I want to highlight here that, you know, before all you would see is Blazor server app. Now there's WebAssembly app for building these new WebAssembly apps. And look here, I can check this box here. That'll give me an ASP.NET Core backend for my APIs. And I can also click Progressive Web Application to make a PWA. So this app will be a PWA. We'll let Visual Studio create this for us real quick. And then what we're going to do is we're going to show some of these cool experiences you can do with WASM. The first thing is when I say that C# runs in the browser, do you really believe me? Let's see if we can show you that. So let's launch this. And I always laugh once this launches in my browser, you're going to get that PWA feel as it says loading. It's the modern web, Scott.
Yep. And I like the little install thing there. We'll see that in a second.
So there's the counter. I can click around and things happen here. But let's launch the browser in debugger mode. I need to copy this here into my clipboard, and then I'll basically paste it down and do a run. And this is going to run the browser again with some ports open to make the debugger experience hookup. Paste that in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've done this demo before, but you didn't get real fidelity when we did it before. You could actually put the breakpoints and stuff, but you couldn't see the actual variables. So here, let's launch the debugger again. I'm going to drill into the file node here, go into the client folder here, And you're going to see all those pages that I have in my app. Here they are in the browser. And notice I have a breakpoint set on increment count. So if I come back over here and I press click me, now we get a pause, pause in the debugger, move back over here. And as I hover, notice you can see the variable is actually zero. So this is new. If you tried any of our earlier previews up until just the last couple of previews, it wasn't really till this year that we got all the debugger stuff working fully through the stack. And just to prove that it really is working, let's do it one more time. And you can see that zero turned into a one. And so the debugger is working. Now that's great. But you know, I said earlier, full stack development. That means I've got a back end and a front end, and our tools can work across all of those. So let me drill down here to my controller. This is the web API that we have that actually returns the weather data. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a breakpoint here in the server. So this means when that client app calls the API into the server, I want it to stop in my debugger. Let's go to the fetch data page as well. And what I'm going to do is, this is just a razor page that you can see where we for loop over the data and display it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a breakpoint. No, not there. Let's move it up there. Once before we call the API, once after we call the API. And we're going to show you that we have full stack debugging both in the server and the client in this application.
Is it possible? We are asking ourselves. Look, there's the diagnostics tools popping up there.
Yep, you can see the traditional diagnostic tools pop up over there.
Yep.
Here we are back in the app. Let's just click around just to prove that it's still running. We're not doing any fakery here. Yeah, mm-hmm. That works. Well, I'm gonna click fetch data.
All right, so the client side.
Look at the VS is bouncing down there. It's blinking at me.
So that's there a client side breakpoint right there.
We're in the client side. I'll go to the Solution Explorer here and show you that we're actually in the fetch data. This is the client part of the app, the Blazor WASM client app. Pressed F5. Now I'm in the web API in the back end, getting my data to return my data. And then I'm back in the client. So we basically stopped on the front, the back, every part of this application. This is full stack development in Visual Studio and .NET Core. So let's look at this thing you pointed out earlier, Scott, install Blazor WASM. Zoom in here. What this does, this lets me take my web application, I press install.
I love these.
And now it looks like a desktop app. All the Blazor, all the web Chrome is gone. Mm-hmm. It's just got desktop Chrome on it now. And now it looks like a desktop app. So you can make these web applications. Look, there it shows up in my start menu.
Yeah, it's a real app. You can pin it or whatever, uninstall it.
I'll get the same stuff down on the taskbar as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, we have some other talks this week that are going to go deep into this and show making full offline applications. But we showed you, just click a few boxes, full stack debugging, all that stuff running directly in Blazor.
Mm-hmm. I dig it. So right now, .NET Core 3.1 is released and it is an LTS. And that's super important to understand the difference between an LTS release and a current release. Long-term support means it's going to be supported for years, like 3 years.
3 years.
.NET Core, say that again?
I said 3 years, yeah.
3 years. Long-term support is available now. Lots of big sites are on this. And then Blazor WASM just got released today. We've also got Windows Forms. The designer came out today. And then ML.NET's model builder today. So if you're doing anything with .NET, you're wondering when's the time to jump, now is the time. .NET Core 3.1, you can go live and you'll be supported into 2023.
I want to add one more point in the Windows Form Designer. Mm-hmm. It's available today. The first preview of 16.7 should be out today as well. And the first and second previews of 16.7 will fill out the rest of the WinForm Designer. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start working on adding third-party controls to that WinForm Designer.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So let's talk about the journey to 1.NET. We've had this vision. Scott and I talked about this way back when we first joined Microsoft about what if we could simplify .NET. And we think we're at an inflection point where over the .NET 5 and .NET 6 waves, we can go back to having like a single stack. But this stack, it'll do all the workloads, but we're going to make it small. It's going to have a single SDK. I envision that SDK actually just having console apps and class libraries to start with. You'll add the actual workloads you want. If you're a Xamarin developer, you've been working on the Xamarin or the Mono BCL, and .NET Core developers have been running on the .NET Core BCL. We're going to unify. So the same BCL across all the app types in the .NET ecosystem, and we're going to have the same unified tool chain. You know, that .NET run, .NET build, all those things you expect are going to be there. We're announcing MAUI today, which is some cross-platform native UI. It's the evolution of Xamarin Forms. You've already seen one of the demos today. We have awesome cross-platform web UI. You can even make those into desktop apps with the PWA support. And we have a ton of investments we're doing in .NET around Kubernetes and containers, microservices, all that stuff. We're going to do a quick demo in a second to one of those. And we're always working on making better improvements in speed, size, diagnostics, Azure services. We think in this .NET 5 and 6 wave, we're going to go back to what we were in like 2002, maybe, when .NET had the best breed solution for every type of app type.
And briefly, it's important to call out there on that left side, the difference between .NET 5, which will be a current release, and .NET 6, which will then give you that LTS support. So start on 3.1 today, supported for years. You can join us on the .NET 5 beginning of the wave, and then .NET 6, which will come out in November of the year after next, will be an LTS release.
Exactly. And of course, these are side-by-sides. So you can actually put .NET 5 on a box that has .NET Core 3.1 on it and use both at the same time with no risk of your workloads.
Cool. All right. So we're going to look at a demo of developing for Linux on Windows. I got to announce WSL2, and I'm super excited about it. So let's see what kind of damage we can do here.
So let me switch the machine back to Visual Studio, Scott.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to take over your machine now. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go File, New, and I'm going to create a web app here. So we'll make an ASP.NET Core web application. It's just a regular web app. And I'm going to call it Web App Linux. And then I'll hit Create. And we'll let it go for a second here. Now I will make a web app, and then right here I could enable Docker support right now with our wonderful friends from Docker Desktop, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm just going to go ahead and hit create. We'll get back to Docker in just a moment. And then I'm going to go into pages here, and we'll take a look at index.cshtml. And I'm just going to put in a little bit of detection code. I'm going to say in system.environment.os version. Okay, this is going to allow me to detect the version. Now we're just going to launch it. You see it's set to IIS Express, and we'll go ahead and just launch. This is the way that you've been doing things for a while. You see your port number there. We're firing it up. And then we're on Windows 10, 19.04.1. So that's what was detected with that OS version there. Okay. Now check out the dropdown. Get it ready. Look for it. Hey, WSL2 as an actual target within Visual Studio there. Okay. So now I'm going to set that as my debug target. Now we'll have to accept our cert to make sure that we can be doing SSL over localhost, which is important. We'll go ahead and fire that up. Now look how fast that came up. Now look at the port we're on. We're doing Kestrel, and that's the actual version of the Linux kernel that we ship with WSL2.
That was instant, Scott.
That is instant. Starts up really, really, really fast. It's fantastic. Now let's put a breakpoint, because we love our breakpoints, because we want to prove that it's real. We'll go ahead and hit F5 again. Boom, starts it up right into Kestrel right there. Cross-platform debugging from Windows to Linux, integrated entirely into Visual Studio, which is just yummy. Now, remember that Docker thing that I skipped there before? I'm going to right-click. I'm going to say add Docker support. Got to get Docker dev for desktop. Our friends at Docker have enabled us to do amazing stuff right now, and it actually will use WSL2 in the on the back end there when all that's released. I'm going to open up the Docker file here. This is actually a very sophisticated Docker file. It includes a multi-stage Docker file. So our base here is Buster Slim, but we're actually doing the build inside of Docker. The SDK and everything runs inside of Docker, and then we build it. And then notice that the release and the publish are separate stages, separate layers within this. And then the final there on line 19 is going to be really, really tight. That way you're not using having a big SDK version and then publishing that. You only want the smallest possible Docker file to go.
That's how I built it in the background for you as you went too.
Yeah, and it's actually been back. It's a good point. It was running in the background and setting that stuff up. So now look, there it is. We are again running on Docker. I'll go ahead and run Docker ps-a, and there it is. There is our web app Linux, and it's also nicely tagged as dev, which is hot as well. And we had SSL support right there. So I can run on Windows. I can run on Linux. I can run on Docker, all from Visual Studio 2019. Just lovely.
It's amazing how fast, how good we've got this, Scott. I mean, a couple years ago, it was kind of slow and clunky, but now you saw each of those. WSL was instantaneous. Docker was instantaneous. Mm-hmm. You know, even though you're running on Windows, it's easy to develop for Linux with .NET Core.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's talk about cross-platform native apps. So today we're introducing .NET Multi-Platform App UI, or MAUI. And how we envision MAUI is it's cross-platform native UI. You can build an application one time and it runs on all your devices, Windows, Mac, Android, iOS. It is a single project. So instead of having to have like a Xamarin Forms project today where you have a sub-project for each of the platforms, we've merged all that together into a single project with a single code base. From Visual Studio, I can right click and deploy to whatever app type or device type I want to actually deploy to. And then this is actually an evolution of Xamarin Forms. As we bring Xamarin Forms directly into .NET in the .NET 5.6 wave, this will be the next generation of that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be targeting .NET 6, but we'll have previews, we hope, late this year that you can pull off of GitHub and try yourself. And you can build beautiful native UIs on any devices. So what I'm going to do is let's do a demo real quick of MAUI. Let's go back to VS. And you can see here, I've got my create project set. And you can see there's my multi-platform app UI, MAUI. I'm going to switch out of this, though. I've already got a MAUI app in my VS down here. And the first thing I want to call out is, if you look here, mm-hmm. If you're a Xamarin Forms developer, you should feel comfortable. All the things you expect are here. This is the same MVVM pattern with XAML that you've always expected. In some of the demos you might see later today or this week, we also have a way of doing this with MVU, where you can do all of this directly in C# as well. So we're going to offer you all of these choices. What I want to do next is we want to make the inner loop for building these MAUI apps as fast as possible. And so notice I'm just going to run this on Windows. There's no Android emulator or iOS emulator or plug my device in. I'm just going to click a button to debug this on Windows. And you're going to see the diagnostic tools boot up just like you expect. There's the MAUI app running directly on Windows. No emulators. This is going to give you the fastest possible inner loop we can do. And there you go. That's the same kind of app we show in the Blazor world all the time. But this time we're showing it in MAUI. So I'm going to stop this. And what I want to do now is, you can't see this, but I'm going to plug my iPhone into my Surface here. And I want to show how easy it is to actually run these apps on any type of device.
Okay.
So I didn't have to install anything on my iPhone or do any magic. Literally all I do is plug my iPhone in. And in the drop-down list, now you're going to see my iPhone show up. And
that's not on a Mac. That's plugged in directly into your Windows machine?
I'm on a Surface machine. So this is a Surface, and we're running it directly on the Surface. Mm-hmm. I do happen to have Reflector running. Reflector is a tool that lets you mirror your phone to the PC. Mm-hmm. And so you can see here's my phone here running +++. And that fast, I can actually run my app directly on Windows. And so as we've shown, whether it's Linux or iOS, you can do it all from your Windows device. So I want to talk about one more thing about MAUI, and probably my most exciting part about MAUI, which is if you look to the right in the Solution Explorer, I've got a single project here. There is no shared project and a head on Android, a head on iOS. It's all combined into one project. And
okay,
we've added
so you're sharing fonts and images here.
Yeah. I can write, have my TrueType fonts and my images that I want to share across all those platforms in a single place. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to make this development amazing. Once again, here's the TrueType fonts. And then the next thing we're going to talk about in a second is, look at that platform node. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned many times that you don't have to have an iOS project and an Android project. I can come up here, open that up. And what you're going to see here is, this is where I would put my native code for each of those devices. So if I've got some code that only runs on Android, I need to write some native Android code, I can do that in all these places. And we think this is going to make building these multi-device apps simpler than ever.
But it's one solution.
With MAUI, one solution. So we have another big announcement. Our RTM of .NET 5 is going to be in November 10th. And we will have a .NET Conf 2020 then. It'll be our launch event, 3 days. It'll be a mix of the .NET team and the .NET community all coming together, and we'll launch .NET 5 there. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of stuff on Maui because we'll be a lot further along at that point. Once again, before we jump into some Q&A, I do want to say go check out aka.ms/.NET journey. You can see the 90-minute version of this with much bigger, deeper demos. You're going to see a whole bunch more of the being able to run your web apps on the desktop. Please give us your feedback on what you're hearing today at aksms/.NET5feedback. And you can also sign up for a free year of Code Magazine.
Yeah, I think we ended up making that. It was almost a 90-minute session that we did there.
It was. I don't know how it got that long on us, but we recorded it and we liked it and we said, let's just keep all 90 minutes, and Beth cool. Massey helped us on that.
So if you want more of that, aka.ms/.NET journey, this went pretty well. Let's have a hello high five and then I think maybe over there. Cool. And then I've got my Q&A up here. Here we go. Can Blazor app access devices like the camera or the microphone and play media, right? And it can, right? Because it's running inside of the browser. And if you get the same permissions that pop up, you can go and do that.
In the long run, we want to look at actually combining the MAUI and the Blazor together. And we can take some of the tech we had, like Xamarin Essentials, which is a library for .NET for device applications today that gives you access to the local device app across a variety of platforms. Mm-hmm. And so we envision taking Xamarin Essentials and making it part of .NET 5/6, and then you would have access to those platforms via that.
Okay. Brief WSL2 question I can answer. Can WSL2 do anything WSL1 can? What are the reasons to keep WSL1 around? WSL2 is faster when it's on the Linux file system. So if you keep your things in your Linux home, it'll be just ripping fast, basically near native. But if you're doing your things on the Windows file system, you're going to have a better experience with WSL1. Until WSL2 closes that performance gap, we're going to go ahead and keep that around. So good question there. But I would definitely recommend WSL2 and running things on the Linux file system for as many people.
Me too. I would throw out even more. If you're using Docker, Docker has a preview feature available right now, Docker for Desktop, where you can check a box, and Docker itself will run using WSL2. Mm-hmm. And it'll make your Docker experiences so much faster. I'm going to say 10 times, but I'm just making it up. It seems you saw it in the demo earlier. It's super
fast. That's a really great point. And actually, I recently did a podcast at hanselminutes.com. You can check out with Simon Furquhole from the Docker talking about how important it is that Docker for Desktop runs on top of WSL2 and what a nice experience that makes, because you can go Docker images, or like we did Docker PS-A on both Linux and Windows, share that same list of containers, that same context. So definitely the magic of Docker for Desktop plus WSL2 is just a chef's kiss. Fantastic.
Awesome.
Here's a good question. Is the build to iPhone a Visual Studio Pro enterprise only thing, or can you do that on community?
I don't actually know the answer to that, Scott. We shipped this feature. I don't think it requires enterprise at all. Or no. I don't know about Pro. But
we'll
this is
the
actually the stuff we showed was it's a combination of the hot reload, hot restart tech we've been previewing for a while,
yes,
which allows you just to plug your device in.
And it's definitely not in enterprise. This is not about enterprise. It's trying to get it available to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit on the roadmap of .NET Core. We talked about the wave of 5 to 6. We're alternating between odd numbers and even numbers. And when are these releases coming out?
Yeah, so these releases come out every November. One of the things that we really want to get to in .NET is we want to make it very simple for our customers to know exactly when things are going to happen. And so we've kind of centered on November. So November is when we ship new releases. This November will be .NET 5. Next November will be .NET 6. The following November will be .NET 7. And as Scott mentioned earlier, this release this year will not be an LTS. Next year will be an LTS. And what this means is, those LTS releases, you can get on one of those and you have 3+ years of support on each of those LTSs. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go slower, you can stay on the LTSs. If you want to stay faster, you can just upgrade every year to the newest version. We actually mirror what Node.js and Ubuntu and many other open source projects are doing in this case to make it very simple to understand.
Very cool. Question from Amit here. Does can WSL2 run on Home or only on Windows Pro? WSL2, when it's released, I think next week, in the latest version of Windows for everyone, will run on Windows Home. And Docker for Desktop will also run on Windows Home. So trying to make this available to as many people as possible. And .NET Core and ASP.NET Core and the features that we saw are all a community edition features that will be available for everyone. So
you showed that on your demo this morning, didn't you? I thought I saw Home on your... Yeah,
absolutely. So yeah, we want to make sure that we're not putting things behind, you know, the basic stuff that you need to do your job behind any kind of gates. Here's a question, and I actually don't know. So can you talk about MAUI as it relates to Windows desktop versus other potential desktops, whether it be Mac or Linux and other future operating system desktops?
So when it comes to MAUI, of course, that these are the questions we always expect is, are you going to do a Linux version of it? Are you going to do a Mac version of it? The intent is to start off doing a Windows and Mac version of it. Mm-hmm. And then once we get those under our belt, we would go look and seeing if we could do Linux as well. So, but I would hope to get to a point where we can run on Android, iOS, Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Okay. So the couple of questions all combine here. When you're looking at that iOS build there, it was a deploy into an app inside of your iPhone. There was no Mac involved. Were you doing a debugging inner loop, or were you doing an actual formal build? I don't think you could deploy that to the App Store, right? Can you talk about the relationship between what is required for a developer license and what's not?
Yeah, that's a good question. So you can do everything I showed. All that's required for what I showed is you'd have to go to developer.apple.com mm-hmm. and create a Apple developer account, which are free. Once you do that, all you have to do is put iTunes on your machine. And sign into it, mm-hmm. And you can do all your development and run the app on your local device or your own device via that mechanism. Once you go to the App Store, you will have to have a Mac somewhere in your build chain because only Macs can publish to the App Store at this point.
Okay, so that answers Jackie Alcine's question here about licensing and notarization. So when it's go live time, you will need a Mac for that build, because that is a requirement of how Apple does things in the App Store. But getting started, prototyping, getting all the way up to basically to staging and testing, you can do entirely on a Windows machine without having to have a Mac involved.
Exactly. If you have a team of 10 people, you only need one Mac to get that app in the App Store.
That's a good point. Okay, so then given that this is the next generation, the next evolution of Xamarin, question from Alexander here, how easy do you anticipate it'll be to convert Xamarin Forms app into MAUI? And, you know, should you be doing new devs on Xamarin Forms and use MAUI later? How do you see that going down?
For right now, you should definitely keep all your development on Xamarin Forms.
Okay.
As we mentioned before, MAUI is going to really come out in the .NET 6 wave, which will be next year in 2021. Mm-hmm. We do plan to change the namespaces. Xamarin will come out and MAUI will go in as part of this. And so there will be some work required to migrate your applications. We actually have a tool that we built a while ago called TriConvert. And TriConvert is a tool we built. It's in GitHub today. You can just Google .NET TriConvert and you should find it. Mm-hmm. And what it does, it converts a older project to the new SDK style project we use in .NET Core. Our intent is to take that TriConvert project and add support for moving applications from Xamarin Forms to MAUI. So imagine it would convert your project files for you, and it would try to fix the namespaces for you as much as possible. So we want to make that as seamless as possible is our goal.
All right, cool. What else we got here? We answered that one. Cool. We got about 1 minute left. What's the effort for migrating a Blazor server site to WebAssembly? That'll be our last question. So if you've got a site already, you love in Blazor, you're on the server, and you want to go and move it to Blazor WASM, do you anticipate that that'd be a complicated maneuver because it's effectively moving the runtime from server to client, but it's not rocket surgery?
I did this a year ago, and it was not super hard.
I think we'll probably have docs on that.
I think we have a guide in the docs on how to do that. It was adding some packages and changing some of the startup stuff to make that change. But we can definitely find and look up and post a URL later today on how to do that.
Okay, cool. All right. I thought that went pretty well. We're going to be doing this again in other time zones. So we'll do this again, I think, in another 8 hours, and then again and again. So folks can see this live. three more times. We thank you for hanging out with us today. I want to make sure that you see that at aka.ms/.NET journey, you can see a 90-minute recorded version of this. And it's really important as you start to explore .NET 5 that you check out aka.ms/.NET5feedback. It's early, and we really want you to give us the feedback we need to make sure that we make you happy and successful. Cool.
Well, Scott, I will see you in a couple hours on the next one of these.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you much. Thank you all for your good questions.